Have you ever dreamed of joining the exciting world of broadcasting? I'm talking about 790 Talk Now, talk that rocks. Right now, 790 Talk Now is expanding. We're seeking motivated self-starters with radio production experience and an interest in producing compelling talk radio shows like Live and Local Now and Wayne Allen Root's War Now. These are paid positions for real money. If you want to be a part of our 790 Talk Now team, call Debbie at 760-851-9447. That's 760-851-9447.
I am Jim Marchant, and I'm running for re-election for Assembly District 37. I will vote against any effort to raise your property taxes, against allowing Nevada to become a sanctuary state, against continued efforts to violate your Second Amendment rights, and against school districts being able to levy taxes on you. This is the most critical election in our history, and it is very important that you get out and vote for candidates like me that believe as you do. I am Jim Marchant, and I humbly ask for your support and vote. Paid for by the committee to elect Jim Marchant.
Washington, D.C. It got a lot of evil there, but we're getting it out step by step. A lot of evil. A lot of bad people. A lot of bad people. A lot of fake media. Look at them. A lot of fake media. NBC is perhaps worse than CNN, I have to tell you. And MSNBC is horrible.
Check it out.
It's 1999. I'm on Meet the Press, a show now headed by Sleepy Eyes Chuck Todd. He's a sleeping son of a bitch, I'll tell you.
That sounds awfully harsh. Why can't you be a little more supportive?
Number one, time is running out. Number two, time is running out. Number three, time is running out. Number four, hang out.
Ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Wall.
It is Live and Local Now. We will be joined in just a bit by no less than the new committee woman for the Republican National Committee, Michelle Fiore. She'll join us in just a bit. And one of the things I want to ask her is what a national committee woman does, because it's a job that Diana Orrick, God, had for a long time. And now there's new blood that's going to serve as National Committee Woman for the RNC. We'll get to that coming up in just a bit. But first, I want you to hear from the president, because the president, I thought, was masterful. You heard in his speech in Murfreesboro, Illinois, He was presidential, talking about Pittsburgh. Let's go to cut six. Because there was a big hue and cry on cable news, not Fox, but on MSNBC and CNN, about in the aftermath of going to, of the Pittsburgh tragedy, why he went to Indianapolis for the Future Farmers of America, and why he went to Murfreesboro, Illinois, for a rally on the day of the shootings in Pittsburgh. Let's go to cut six. This is the president in Indianapolis. Why he went to Indy. Why did he go to Murfreesboro, Illinois, after the Pittsburgh tragedy? Here he is.
One of the questions I was asked, will I come to this event? And I said, future farmers, young farmers, I'm coming to this event. And then I was asked whether or not I was going to another event later on in Illinois, which was more or less of a rally, political rally. And at first I was thinking I'll cancel. And then I said, you know, we can't let evil change our life and change our schedule. We can't do that. We have to go and do whatever we were going to do. Otherwise, we give them too much credit. We make them too important. And you go with a heavy heart, but you go. You don't want to change your life. You can't make them important. These are bad people. You can't allow them to dominate what we do. So I'll go. Not that I want to go, but I think I actually, in reverse, have an obligation to go. I remember when we had the attack in Manhattan. We opened that stock exchange. The next day, people were shocked. A great group of people. The head of the New York Stock Exchange is just a fantastic guy, Dick. And he opened it up, got it opened. Everybody was standing proudly with him. And the purpose wasn't financial, had nothing to do with financial. It was that we don't want to let people that are evil change our lives. So I think when I'm finished with this, I should go to Illinois. I will go to Illinois. And we'll keep our schedule the way it's supposed to be, and we should all do that. And I maybe recommend that to others also. It's a personal choice, but I think maybe we should recommend that to a lot of other people. In the meantime, it's my honor to be with you right now. Thank you.
I thought the president was perfect. His response to Pittsburgh in so many ways was incredibly positive. Now, as you would suspect, there are people that would look at Pittsburgh and immediately point to the president of the United States as the reason for this crazed shooter to go on his rampage. Such was the rhetoric. You want to talk about highly charged political rhetoric? Try Adam Schiff, the guy the president calls the liar. The liar. From the People's Republic of California. He was on with Jake Tapper on State of the Union yesterday and attacked the president on his response to the Pittsburgh killings. This was Adam Schiff yesterday with State of the Union and Jake Tapper.
The president condemned the shooting and he condemned anti-Semitism in stark terms at an event in Indianapolis yesterday. How do you feel about how the president has handled this specific tragedy? Are you satisfied? Has he done what he needs to do?
You know, the problem is not how he is handling the aftermath, although I certainly don't agree with his suggestion that this could have been avoided or mitigated if they'd had someone armed in the synagogue. That's not the answer. The broader issue is what kind of climate are we creating in the country? This country is filled with amazing, beautiful, wonderful people who came here, many of them attracted by the idea this was a land of opportunity, no matter your religion, your ethnic origin, your color. That idea is being tested by those who are preaching hatred and division, and we have to overcome that. And I think the president has a pivotal role there. No one sets the tone more than the president of the United States. And the tone that he sets is one of division, often one of hatred, sometimes one of incitement of violence against journalists. And there's no escaping our collective responsibility, but there's no escaping the tone that he sets for the country. The Constitution contemplates a president that tries to make us a more perfect union. And the president has his own constitution in here. That doesn't allow him to do that. And that's not going to change. I think it's going to fall on all the rest of us to try to make this a more perfect union, to bring people together, to accentuate our common humanity and not these ancient hatreds, not giving birth to new hatreds. That's going to fall on all of us, and I think we're up to the challenge.
Here's my problem with what Adam Schiff says. First of all, what the president said after Pittsburgh was perfect. You cannot fault what he said. And then to say, well, but if you look at the climate he's created, who is it that has created this climate? Is it the president of the United States, or is it the fake news media? Jake Tapper's question. Jake Tapper's basic question was laced with expecting a knee-jerk response. I mean, Jake Tapper was probably hoping he'd criticize the president's statement. But instead, Adam Schiff said, but you got to look beyond that. What happened before that? This is nonsense. By the way, one of the funny things that happened And we'll get to it after the break. I'm coming up on a break. The president in Murfreesboro, Illinois. And promoted America First policy, but then went after Elizabeth Warren. We'll get to that because it runs a little long, and I want to make sure I can get it in before the break. So we'll go to the break first, and then we'll get to the president in Murfreesboro, Illinois. I've never heard of Murfreesboro, Illinois. No, I've never been there, I don't think. Stick around. More to do as we continue. It is Monday. It is live and local now. Although Republican State Assembly candidate Dennis Hoff passed away just 3 weeks before Election Day, his name is still on the ballot. And if he wins, county commissioners would have to appoint another Republican to serve out his term. That's why Republicans need him to win District 36, to keep Democrats from stealing the seat and getting a supermajority advantage. That would allow them to pass tax hikes and override gubernatorial vetoes. For more information, go to keep36red.com. That's keep36red.com. And let's win this one for Dennis, paid for by friends of Hoff.
Two men, two different paths. Las Vegas politician Steve Sisolak started as a telemarketer, hounding Nevadans with calls during dinner. Then he became a politician, first a university regent, doubling tuition prices on Nevada students. And later as a Clark County commissioner, where Sisolak was called corrupt by a judge, investigated by the FBI. Sisolak has reportedly handed out government contracts to his Las Vegas contributors. Then there's Adam Laxalt. Laxalt served our nation in uniform, volunteered for Iraq, taught at the Naval Academy, became America's youngest attorney general. Laxalt tackled opioid abuse, prosecuted elder fraud, fought for our local land and water rights, and has successfully led the way in protecting our constitutional rights as Nevadans. Sisolak and Laxalt, which one for governor? Sisolak, who has always looked out for himself, or Adam Laxalt, who has always looked out for you? Paid for by Laxalt for Nevada.
Nevada candidate for governor Steve Sisolak wants to prevent you from protecting your home and family from criminals. Sisolak is following the lead of radical anti-gun Senator Dianne Feinstein, whose newest assault weapons ban includes most of the handguns and semi-automatic rifles Americans use to protect them and their families. In fact, Feinstein said if she could, she would ban all guns. And Steve Sisolak is following her lead. That's why anti-gun groups like Everytown USA, funded by Michael Bloomberg, have poured millions of dollars into races for candidates like Sisolak this year. Sisolak's agenda is simple: to ban semi-automatic firearms, allow government bureaucrats to seize your guns without any court hearing, and maintain a government list of every American who owns a gun. That's why Gun Owners of America is proud to endorse Nevada Attorney General Adam Laxalt for governor. Adam Laxalt will defend the Constitution and your right to protect your home and family from criminals. Paid for by Gun Owners of America.
Shouldn't Nevada have a lieutenant governor who is both trustworthy and competent and at least knows what that job is about? Number one, refereeing the conflicts between the Democrats and Republicans. Number two, bringing more tourists to Nevada. Just as no one picks the referee from one of the teams, I, as a nonpartisan, will be fair and objective in breaking tie votes in the Senate. As the only lieutenant governor candidate with international experience, I know how we can double the number of tourists to Nevada. My name is Ed Yuling, paid for by the friends of Ed Yuling.
Are you among the millions of Americans who feel uncertain when it comes to their health care? Hey, Kevin Wall here. I'm happy to inform you there is a solution, and that solution is Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare is a community of like-minded people who work together to pay for their medical costs. There are no networks, so you choose your doctor and hospital. Liberty HealthShare allows you to easily decide how, when, and where you will access healthcare. It could be the best practical, moral, and economical choice for you and your family. Starting at $107 a month for a single, up to $449 a month for a family, that's mom, dad, and all kids. This is the way healthcare should be. For information, call 855-585-4237. That's 855-585-4237. Or visit libertyhealthshare.org. That's libertyhealthshare.org. And regain control over your healthcare costs. Together, we're changing healthcare for good.
790 Las Vegas and 98.1 Palm Springs. Talk now. Talk that rocks.
It is live and local now. More coming up. The president was out on the stump over the weekend, even in the aftermath of the tragedy in Pittsburgh, and I thought said all the right things. Just a quick look ahead. We've been trying to run down Michelle Fiore, councilwoman, Las Vegas City Council. She is heading up what they're calling a trunk or treat on Wednesday from 6 until 8. No, this is going to be Floyd Land Park. No, at Tule Springs? Yeah, it's going to be really cool. Trunk or treat, community vendors, food trucks, spooky flashlights, costume parade, hay rides, crafts, games, a DJ. And that's all from 6 until 8? Are you kidding me? They're going to cram all of that into a 6 until 8. Yeah. City Councilwoman Michelle Fiore, in partnership with Metro and Centennial Hills YMCA, inviting you to a Halloween celebration. Man, there are a bunch of those around. I love that. I love that stuff, especially when you get the kids all dressed up. There just is nothing better. I want you to hear Paul Ryan. It's cut two. He was on with John Dickerson yesterday on Face the Nation. They got into a lot of policy and a lot of stuff like that. But one of the things I found interesting was their conversation. And Paul Ryan, to his credit, laid some of the blame for the hatred, the discourse, laid the blame for identity politics on the fake news media. I want you to listen to Paul Ryan with John Dickerson on CBS yesterday.
Why do you think there's not much talk about bipartisanship in the coverage?
I don't think it sells for you guys, for the media. You take a look at the bills we pass out of the House, about 1,000 bills. It's been one of the most productive sessions of Congress in a generation, and of those roughly 1,000 bills, over 80% of them are bipartisan bills. So we've tackled opioids, we've tackled human trafficking, we've rebuilt the military. All of those are bipartisan, but they don't get reported. It doesn't sell. So I honestly think, John, it's the hits and the clicks and it's the ratings chase that's on display in America today that says when they're fighting each other, that's when you cover it.
So if we accept some portion of responsibility for that, you've seen some President Trump's rallies. Do those rallies accentuate the things that unite us, the bipartisan achievements, or are they? Do they do something very successful in politics, wildly successful, which is sow division in the country? Yeah. Do you see that happening at his rallies?
Sometimes, yeah.
Sometimes meaning?
Well, not always, but sometimes. I worry about tribal identity politics becoming the new norm of how politics is waged. As conservatives, we always thought this was sort of a left-wing Linsky thing. Unfortunately, the right practices identity politics now as well. It's the day and age, it's technology and everything else. Identity politics, which is now being practiced on both sides of the aisle, is unfortunately working. And I think we, as leaders, we got to figure out how do we make inclusive aspirational politics strategically valuable again.
That was Paul Ryan. And I think he said all the right things yesterday on Face the Nation. Tell you what, let's do is check in with the unanimously elected Nevada Republican Party National Committee Woman, Michelle Fiore, joining us on our City National Bank guest hotline. Congratulations, Michelle. Unanimous.
How are you, Kevin?
I am just, get off that speakerphone, please. You're driving me nuts.
What are you doing,
Oh,
Kevin?
There you go. Now I can hear you. You were across the room, and I understand that. First of all, congratulations. Were you surprised at the unanimous vote? I mean, nobody agrees on anything today, but yet they all agreed on you.
Yeah. You know, I was very surprised. You know, I literally was sending letters and doing posts. I was campaigning for it because, you know, rumors have it, you know, someone up north was going to run and then someone down here was going to run. And I'm like, okay, you know, I won't back down away from a good campaign. So I campaigned and I was not expecting it to be unanimous, but so grateful for it as well. And I'm really excited. I have to tell you, the party is moving.
Boy, they are. They are indeed. Tell me what a national committee woman does.
Oh, my goodness. So we first and foremost is we look at our state. We raise enough money for our candidates. We really work diligently on making sure we're staffed. And we deal with different committees like rules committees, fundraising committees, policy committees, convention committees. It's kind of like I'm a city councilwoman and I have five committees with the city. And now as the Republican National Committee woman, I'll have one or two committees with the Republican National Committee. And we will just make sure that Nevada works diligently to get great people in office.
Let me ask you the most important question. Where the hell are you going to find the time?
Well, everything has to be scheduled with my life. So, so everything is scheduled, you know, and I'm a big family woman. So, you know, I spend a lot of time with my grandkids and my daughters and we work together. So you do. Busy people get things done. That's what I tell everybody.
You're right. And by the way, I understand a little bird told me that you've got something on your schedule for Wednesday, late afternoon, early evening, and it's going to involve Halloween. Am I right?
Yes. You know what? We are doing a huge Safe Place Halloween in Tule Springs and from 6 to 8, and we're going to have ghost stories and a lot of different candies, and a DJ. You know, Ward 6, Kevin, is a party.
Oh, I know. And you're either having it at your house or at Floyd Lamb Park.
I know. Or Centennial Hills Park. We have 17 of the most beautiful parks out here in the Northwest. And so I'm very, very fortunate.
Well, and this is free and open to the public, right?
Absolutely.
Bring the kids.
Yeah.
And you're going to have trunk or treat, community vendors, food trucks, spooky flashlight, costume parade, hay rides. Man, you're going to have it all. And it's all coming up Wednesday from 6 until 8. And make sure the kids dress up.
Yeah, you know, I have to tell you, just like I spoil my children and my grandchildren, I really love giving our community great things.
You do it all the time. You are so dedicated to your district. And to their kids, I just love it. Hey, we're out of time. Thank you so much. And
you're welcome.
And
thanks for having me, Kevin.
Congratulations on your election. That is Michelle Fiore, Las Vegas City Councilwoman, unanimously elected as National Committee Woman for the RNC. Stick around. More to do. Eric Trump, son of President Trump, joining us next, live and local now.
Ninety-8.1 Palm Springs. Talk now. Talk that rocks.
All across the state of Nevada and in SoCal too. It's live and local now for a Monday, brand new week. 8 days away from Election Day, more early voting. If you have not already voted, please get out and vote today. You can vote anywhere. You're not restricted to your precinct or your voting place. You can vote anywhere in town. Make sure you get out and you vote. Don't forget this hour of Live and Local Now, brought to you in part by Liberty HealthShare, offering an affordable health care option that allows you to enroll any time of the year, even today. Check it out at libertyhealthshare.org. That's libertyhealthshare.org. Well, he is now just one appearance away from achieving co-host status on this program. His name is Eric Trump. He is the son of the president. He and his beautiful wife, Lara, in town for a big rally for Crescent Hardy coming up this afternoon at 2 o'clock. We'll tell you more about that. Eric, good morning. Welcome back to town.
Hey, Kevin, it's great to be on, and I co-host the show with you anytime. I love it.
I know. I think that's great. You're only one appearance away, so you get back on here before Election Day. You're in. I want to ask you about the rally today. Something must be up. I was at a rally on Saturday. In fact, I met for the first time, the vice president, and he made an inspiring speech for Crescent Hardy, talked about Pittsburgh. Let's first of all begin with Pittsburgh, though. I thought your dad said exactly the right stuff. I mean, he checked off all the boxes. He sounded presidential. He said all the right things, and yet people still criticize him.
You know, they always will. They always will. It's a kind of state of the media in our country right now, and honestly, Kevin, you need to ignore and you need to get, you know, past it. What happened in Pittsburgh was horrible. It's unthinkable. It's not, you know, that's not representative of the left. It's not representative of the right. I mean, it's a horrible incident by a complete nut job who, you know, needs to get thrown in jail for the rest of his life or quite frankly executed. But I mean, the guy's just a horrible, horrible human being. And I think he did handle it really well. And, you know, it's not indicative of who we are as a culture or who we are as Americans. We're so much better than that.
I want to ask you, because I saw you on Judge Jeanine over the weekend. One of the things that you expressed was the idea of pulling politics out of events like this, whether it be Parkland, Florida, or it be Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, wherever the violence occurs or the hate occurs. Can you expand on that a little bit about what you meant by that?
You do. You know, in the recent years, everything has to be political. You know, if a tree changes colors, it's because of political reason. If something happens, it's always political. Everything's always political, and it's both sides, you know, and we have to start pulling politics out of certain things. You know, when the mail bomber was running around, well, he's a Trump supporter, you know, but yet, you know, no one was ever saying that when, you know, the whack job shot up the baseball field in Washington, D.C., who was a, you know, big Democrat and a Bernie Sanders supporter. I mean, these people are crazy. These people do not represent either political party. You know, the political parties are much more civil than this. And, you know, the media's desire to always make it political, and quite frankly, some politicians' desire to always make it political is unfortunate, because not every issue is a political issue. This wasn't a this was a whack job, a sick, deranged human being who did an unthinkable act. And once in a while, we have to step back and say, hey, there are actions out there on behalf of a very rogue few who are not political and, you know, are not indicative of any party that we have in the United States.
Let me ask you, your dad, I think, in speeches in Indianapolis, and in Murfreesboro, Illinois, I thought struck exactly the right tone, the right message. Have you talked to your dad since Saturday? Have you had a chance to talk to him about, you know, what he's saying, and in particular in light of just a horrible tragedy in Pittsburgh?
Yeah, listen, I mean, it rings home. I mean, it rings home. You know, my sister, you know, is Jewish. She converted. My brother-in-law is Jewish. They observe the Sabbath. I've been to more Sabbath dinners than anybody. And you know, it's you know, here's an awful day on a you know, day of worship where somebody does again the unthinkable, and it's horrible, and it hits home. It hits home in such a big way. And you know, here's some you know, freedom of religion reigning. Right, we have people who are in a synagogue, you know, worshiping God, and somebody does something like this. Again, it's absolutely terrible. But you know, it's unthinkable.
Eric Trump joining us on our City National Bank guest hotline. He's in town for a big rally this afternoon that is open to the public, by the way. If you want to come out, meet Eric and Lara Trump. They're absolutely wonderful people. Make sure you're coming out. It's this afternoon at the Summerlin Field Office, 3200 Soaring Gulls Drive, Suite 102. We'll tell you how you can get tickets coming up in just a bit. I am curious, though, when we talk about when I hear Democrats or liberals talk about toning down the rhetoric, the president needs to tone down the rhetoric, I hear them saying we want to muzzle the president. Is the president going to give into this at all?
Yeah, it's, you know, it's kind of interesting when you have Eric Holder on the opposite side saying, hey, when they're down, run up to them and kick them in the face. And you have Hillary saying that there will be no civility until, you know, they take back control of power. And, you know, you have the Washington Post today, one of their big stories was comparing my father to quote-unquote Hitler. And, you know, and they talk about, you know, they talk about civility. I mean, the double standard, the hypocrisy is nothing short of, you know, exceptional. And listen, Americans, Kevin, you know this better than anybody. You talk about it all day, but Americans are really smart. They see through the nonsense. You know, we're in a country right now that's winning again. We haven't won as a country in a very long time because we have a fighter in office. And, you know, everything about our country is winning. Our, you know, our military is winning. Our economy is winning. We're winning at everything we do right now. We're the most envied country in the world. We're respected around the world again. We're not getting ripped off by the entire rest of the world. And, you know, Americans are a lot smarter. And, you know, listening to the nonsense spewed out by, you know, 90% of the mainstream media, which is negative stories. And by being negative toward the president all the time, they're actually being negative toward our country. And you know, I honestly hear it all the time from people. You know, people are sick and tired of it. And, you know, people have to go out at the end of the day. You know, America is a democracy. And, you know, people speak at the ballot box. And people have to get out, especially in this state. I mean, this is one of the most important states, you know, in the country. You've got some of the most crucial elections. You mentioned Cressa Hardy before. You mentioned Dean Hiller. People have to get out. People absolutely have to vote. I mean, people not voting is equivalent to voting for the opposite side. And we don't want Nancy Pelosi in there. We don't want Chuck Schumer in there. They are complete disasters. They will bring this country to a screaming halt if they had their way. I mean, you and I have spoken about this a million times, but I mean, what's their platform? Let's double taxes. Let's run a campaign that's anti-law enforcement, anti-ICE, let's abolish ICE, and, you know, what else they stand for. But let's resist, let's obstruct, let's create pandemonium at every juncture, let's, you know, create a circus show. I mean, it's not who we are. Our country is doing far too good for that right now, and we need to win this. And again, Nevada is truly, truly, truly one of the most important states. People have to get out. You have to cast your vote. It is so critically important here. And by the way, the races are very, very tight. I mean, every vote really matters.
Well, and all of the races, Danny Tarkanian, Dean Heller, Crescent Hardy, the gubernatorial race is like razor thin between Adam Laxalt and Steve Sisolak. I want to ask you, though, about Crescent Hardy. He's a guy that sometimes flies under the radar. He is I always call guys like this a workhorse, not a show horse. Tell us why it's important that Crescent Hardy be returned to Washington.
Well, wouldn't it be nice if we had more workhorses? You know, you have very few in the government, as we've seen, you know, firsthand. But wouldn't it be nice if you had more workhorses? I mean, that's what America's asking these people to do. I mean, these people are representing our country. These people are leading our country. And, you know, you're always underwhelmed. You know, I look at both those bodies. You know, you're taking 3-month vacations every single year. I mean, America doesn't do that. America is a very, very hardworking. Americans are very hardworking people. And we want workhorses. We really do. And he happens to be an amazing person. I'm doing an event for him. You know, a matter of fact, in a few minutes, my wife Laura, we're doing a big thing at Treasure Island for Crescent. But an amazing person, amazingly supportive, gets it, pragmatic, a very, very hard worker. And, you know, and listen, that's what we need. We came off of a week where, you know, a couple weeks ago, where you saw what happened with Kavanaugh. You saw so many politicians who had zero backbone. You know, and, you know, again, you had an entire party that was really being marched around by two people, again, Schumer and Pelosi. And, you know, this country wants results, and that's what they've been getting over the last, you know, 2 years. I mean, this country has transformed like no other time in American history. We're doing so well on every front, and we got to keep that going. And, you know, the problem is, you know, people become complacent and people say, hey, you know, life's really good. I've got a job. My you know, wages are increasing. I'm happy. I'm no longer working 3 jobs. My benefits are good. Everything's good. And, you know, so I don't need to go out and vote. And it's the exact wrong mentality. People have to get out there, especially in this state. They have to get to the ballot box. They have to vote. And, you know, this is one thing with Kevin. If people get out and vote, if the Trump, you know, people get out and vote for the down-ticket candidates, we will win this. We will win the House. We will win the Senate. There's no question about it. If our people get out and vote, we will win it, and we'll be able to keep making America great again. If people don't get out and vote, well, hey, it's a lot harder at that point, right? Because, you know, my father has enough opposition in Washington, D.C., and he would have even more. So,
I just can't express how critical it is for people to get to the ballot box. You have to get out there, cast your vote, do the right thing, fight for this country. We'll keep fighting for this country, and if we do, we'll keep making America great again.
One thing I always notice that when I see you out on the stump or I see you on Judge Jeanine, you are enjoying this. You love doing this, do you not?
Well, listen, I care about this country, right? I mean, I'm a civilian. I'm no different than anybody listening right now. I'm not a politician. I want nothing to do with politics. I want nothing to do with 90% of politicians. Quite frankly, I don't like a lot of politicians. They're just not my type of people. But I do desperately care about this country. And, you know, you came off a period of time under Obama where, you know, at certain points you had 10.5% unemployment. You had the slowest, you know, slowest economic recovery since the Great Depression. You had every company leaving our shores, going overseas. Our jobs were going to China. We were literally our taxpayer money. We had $800 billion deficit with the rest of the world. We had a $570 billion deficit with China. We were rebuilding cities all across Asia and other things. We were leaving our country behind. We were leaving the infrastructure behind. We were leaving our schools behind. I mean, we weren't doing anything well. We weren't succeeding at anything we did, Kevin. Our educational system in this country is the 30th in the world. We gave $150 billion to Iran, a country that absolutely hates our guts. I mean, so why do we do it? We do it because we love this nation, we love this country, and we see how much better off we're doing under proper leadership. And that's not, you know, somebody that's been stuck in Washington, D.C. for 100 years. That's, you know, a business guy who comes from the outside who's actually able to get things done and will buck the system and will, you know, revolt against the swamp and will, quite frankly, drain the swamp. Not to sound cheesy, but, you know, he's done exactly that. And we've made more progress under 2 years of my father than we had under, you know, 15 years of past administrations. And, I mean, imagine what he can get done if he has another two where he controls the House and the Senate. And imagine what can get accomplished if he has another four after that. You know, I mean, America, we are the top country in the world, but we'll be unstoppable. I mean, we will be unstoppable as an economy, as a military, as at everything we do, because he's fixing problems left and right. So that's why we fight the way we do, Kevin. It's why we're out here. It's why we put in the hours and spend the amount of time away from our families and, you know, spend the amount of time in hotel beds as we do. It's because we love this country. We want to see it keep winning.
And by the way, I had a chance to visit with your dad a week ago this past Saturday. He was most gracious. He talked very highly of you, and we had a great conversation, which aired a week ago today. He is absolutely amazing. I got to ask him the question that I asked you, I think, maybe 10 days ago, and that is, how does he keep doing it? He says, you know what? It's because we're winning. If we weren't winning, yeah, it might be difficult to get up every day and fight these battles, but we are winning. That was a great answer to a pretty difficult question, but it was so much fun.
We are absolutely winning.
And by the way, do me a favor. Next time you talk to your dad, tell him we're not getting tired of winning. Trust me,
we'll never get tired of winning. But people have to go out and vote. It's a lot easier to win if people get out and vote. It, you know, makes it a lot tougher if people don't show up. So, you know, people listening to this right now, please don't be complacent. Get out there, win. Vote. This state is just so crucially important, and it's a state that we love. It's a state that we've been in for a long, long time, and you know, it's the greatest place in the world. But people have to get out. They have to hit the ballot.
Hey, Eric, thanks so much for coming back to the state. This is vitally important, as you mentioned, and getting Crescent Hardy elected, I think, is vitally important to the big plan. Thank you so much. Enjoy your stay, and we'll see you next time back.
Thanks so much, Kevin.
Thank you. Eric Trump, along with his beautiful wife, Lara, going to be out at the Summerlin Field Office. And if you want tickets, here's how you get tickets. Go to Nevada Republican Party. Just search it. Yeah, it's easy. Nevada Republican Party. And you can register. My guess is if you just show up, you could probably get in as well. The event itself, Eric and Lara Trump, along with Crescent Hardy and other state GOP officers, it'll be at 3200 Soaring Gulls Drive, Suite 102, and that's Las Vegas, 89129. So just put that in your GPS, and 2 o'clock for the rally. It's going to be a lot of fun. You're going to see a lot of those in the next 8 days. Stick around. More to do as we continue. My name is Kevin Wall. Great to have you with us. It is Monday. It is live and local now. Nancy Pelosi is trying to take over Nevada. Do I have your attention? Hey, Kevin Wall here with a very important message for all Nevadans. If you want to stop Nancy Pelosi and elitist out-of-state liberals from invading our state, you've got to get out and vote for Danny Tarkanian. Danny is the Trump-endorsed conservative candidate for Congress. He's a fighter, offering real solutions for Nevada families. Solutions like school choice. Danny believes that you as parents deserve a say in how your tax dollars are spent and which education system is best for your children. And Danny will work hard with President Trump to finally secure our borders. For our safety and security, it's an absolute must. In Congress, Danny will strengthen our country and our state by supporting the America First agenda that's already making America great again. Congress has been broken for a long time, folks, and that's why we need Danny Tarkanian's common sense approach. He'll get things done in Washington. I urge you to do the right thing for Nevada and for America and support our friend Danny Tarkanian for Congress.
I'm Danny Tarkanian, and I approve this message paid for by Tarkanian for Congress.
Hello, my name is Richard MacArthur. I'm running for re-election in Assembly District 4, which is in the northwest part of Las Vegas. I have lived in Las Vegas for 38 years and want Nevada to be a good place to live and work, raise a family, feel safe, and be able to start a business. I support lower taxes, limited government, the right to keep and bear arms, school choice, and voter ID. I'm opposed to sanctuary cities and amnesty for illegals. I humbly ask for your vote in the general election in November. Again, Richard MacArthur, Assembly District 4. Paid for by the committee to elect Richard MacArthur.
Are you among the millions of Americans who feel uncertain when it comes to their health care? We're happy to inform you that there is a solution, and that solution is Liberty HealthShare. It's a community of like-minded people who work together to pay for their medical costs. You choose your doctor and hospital, starting at $199 a month for a single, up to $529 a month for a family. That's mom, dad, and all kids. For more info, visit libertyhealthshare.org. That's libertyhealthshare.org.
Hey, Kevin Wall here. This election will impact the direction of Nevada politics for many years to come. During last year's state legislative session, the Democrats nearly passed bills that would have made Nevada a sanctuary state, raised our taxes, increased regulations on our businesses, limited parent school choice, and violated our Second Amendment rights. If we don't elect Republicans throughout the state of Nevada on November 6th, these bills will pass during next year's legislative session. I urge you to vote and vote for Republicans up and down the ballot. And I urge you to vote no on ballot issue question 5. A no vote on question 5 is essential to maintain fair elections. A yes vote opens the door for voter fraud. California has acknowledged that 25,000 people were illegally registered to vote after they passed a similar law. This message has been paid for by the Nevada Federation of Republican Women. To find their club in your area, visit nvfrw.org. That's nvfrw.org.
The U.S.-Mexican border is overrun by Mexican drug cartels, drug trafficking, human trafficking, sex trafficking, illegal immigration, and violence. President Trump asked governors in the Southwest to send National Guard troops to the border to help out just until he builds a wall. Adam Laxalt said if elected governor, he will refuse President Trump's request to send Nevada National Guard troops to the border. But Ryan Bundy will work with President Trump and defend our border. Vote Ryan Bundy for Nevada governor. Paid for by Ryan Bundy for governor campaign.
The Moving Wall, the traveling Vietnam Veterans War Memorial, will be in Las Vegas Thursday, November 1st through Sunday the 4th, 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. each day. The 3,400-foot half-size replica is open to the public and free of charge. Join dignitaries and Vietnam groups 11:45 Friday and 11:45 Saturday, a full turkey luncheon served to all veterans from all wars in service. I'm Jacob Jimerson on behalf of the Jimerson Law Firm, sponsor for this war memorial, inviting you to the memorial site 500 South Las Vegas Boulevard next to the Nevada Supreme Court building.
790 Las Vegas and 98.1 Palm Springs. Talk now. Talk that rocks.
It is live and local now, just so you know. Okay, here's what I did on the state ballots, the ballot questions. I voted yes on one. Okay. It's Marcy's Law. I voted no on two, which is the feminine hygiene products. Why are we exempting feminine hygiene products? Why not exempt mouthwash, something we all use, or shampoo? I just, for the life of me, I don't understand. I voted no. Statewide, ballot question three. I voted yes on three, not because I think the legislature will accede to the question. And the question, here's the question. Shall Article 1 of the Nevada Constitution be amended to require the legislature to provide by law for the establishment of an open, competitive retail electric energy market that prohibits the granting of monopolies and exclusive franchises for the generation of electricity? I don't trust the legislature to be a fair broker of that question. But I also have a knee-jerk reaction against monopolies. I just think competition makes everybody better. And in the case of goods and services, generally, everybody, it makes them cheaper. Question four requires the legislature to provide by law for the exemption of durable medical goods, oxygen delivery equipment, and stuff like that. I voted yes, okay, and only because that's fine. I got no problem with that. Question five, I voted no. That's the one that the opt-in, opt-out thing on voter registration, a motor voter. The people in California are ready to pull the plug on theirs because they had something like 25,000 people that were registered illegally. Yeah. And question six, I don't think there's any question for me. The idea of mandating alternative forms of energy by the year 2030. I voted no on that one. That at least 50% of the total amount of electricity sold has to be by alternative means, wind, solar. Well, what if it turns out wind, solar, and all of that is more expensive than clean coal or natural gas? It doesn't specify. So, no, sorry. So I voted no. That's the way I voted on the questions. If you have not voted, I hope you will get out this week and vote. Early voting underway. I know, not in Searchlight. They voted on the 24th. Sorry. You guys have to wait till November 6th. Stick around. More to do. My name is Kevin Wall. Coming up, Megan Barth, ReaganBabe.com. Will she be in studio or will she be by phone? I think she's going to be in studio, and I hope so. Because we missed her. She's been in Northern Nevada for the longest time. We'll talk with her coming up next. Live and local now. Nevada candidate for governor Steve Sisolak wants to prevent you from protecting your home and family from criminals. Sisolak is following the lead of radical anti-gun senator Dianne Feinstein, whose newest assault weapons ban includes most of the handguns and semi-automatic rifles Americans use to protect them and their families. In fact, Feinstein said if she could, she would ban all guns. And Steve Sisolak is following her lead. That's why anti-gun groups like Everytown USA, funded by Michael Bloomberg, have poured millions of dollars into races for candidates like Sisolak this year. Sisolak's agenda is simple: to ban semi-automatic firearms, allow government bureaucrats to seize your guns without any court hearing, and maintain a government list of every American who owns a gun. That's why Gun Owners of America is proud to endorse Nevada Attorney General Adam Laxalt for governor. Adam Laxalt will defend the Constitution and your right to protect your home and family from criminals. Paid for by Gun Owners of America.